Second Chronicles this morning, the 7th chapter, very familiar scripture. We'll look at this. We start another study on a different one. We got one already going and I bounce back and forth from for some reason. That's what we've been doing in the last little while. Sometimes I'd stay on one particular subject. And we can if the Lord leads that way, but He's got me bouncing around. So let's pray that God will give us what we need at the time that we need it. We had a couple of fellas come from one of the churches in White County yesterday, picked up quite a bit of literature and carried back with them for their visitation programs. And I appreciate that. Thank God they'd be able to get that in some of the churches that are using our literature. We appreciate it. Amen. All right, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to read in verse number 12. Let's read a little bit here, and then we're going to deal with a subject. I pray that the Lord will have His will and His way. This is a familiar scripture, at least one of the verses, 7:14 is. But let's look at it. We sometimes miss the rest of that, and we pull that one verse out, and we look at some things, and that's a great verse. But look what he said in verse 12. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night." Now you got to remember this. Solomon has built a temple. He's built the house of God. In verse 11, you'll find it. And he said, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." Now it's important to have the hand of God on anything that we do. Many times we do a lot of things and God's hand's not there. We're doing it on our own. But when God puts His hand on something we've done, thank God it prospers and it works. Now look what He said in verse 13. "If I shut up heaven," this is God speaking, "that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Now this is some ifs. Again, God said, I'm laying some conditional things here. And if I happen to do these things, he said then in verse 14, "if my people, which are called by my name," now at this particular time it was the Jews, but today this will be speaking to you and me, "shall humble themselves." That's the first prerequisite, I guess, to having an answered prayer. And that is, number one, well, first is to call upon his name. If you don't call upon his name, you're not going to get nowhere. Second, to humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now that's all there, and appreciate what God has said there, but let's read the rest of this because it's very important. I want to read the rest of this chapter because we'll see the context and the setting of what God has said. He said, now verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." God said, if you'll do that, I'll open my ears and I'll hear you. That's what he's saying. God said, I'll be attentive. Now, God, see, this is a conditional statement. It's not unconditional. It's a conditional statement. God said, you've got to meet the order of it. And when you do, then God said, my ears will be attentive to you. In verse 15. And now verse 16 said, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." That's continually. "And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked," now he's given a condition, see, "and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments." Now remember this. This is in this day, 2016. God don't just answer prayers to be answering prayers. He wants them answered, and we got to meet the need. I mean, we got to meet the criteria to get them answered. And God is not going to play. He's just not going to dump blessings on us, and He's just not going to answer our prayers because of who we are. It's we got to get in the right place. Remember that it's our condition of our heart that we have this morning that's important. And so He said in verse 18, "Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel." Now this is important. God said, if you'll do everything that you're supposed to do and follow your father, David, and the commandments that I've given him to do, you can rest assured there will be a king. You're going to have a continual king. You see that? Did they have one? No, they lost out on it. Amen. Why? Because they did not follow God's will. Look at verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, that's the word of God, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among the nations. Now, you getting what I'm talking about? This is leading up to where we're going to be teaching this morning. What did he say? He said over here in verse number 16. Go back and read 16 with me again. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there for how long? Forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there how long? Perpetually. Continually. Now, did it happen? No. They messed up. Amen. That's where our nation's at too. And God said, you'll be a byword among the nations. Verse 21. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Now, this is a tremendous verse right there. That's a tremendous verse. We could stay a long time on it. You see what they did? The Bible said that God brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods. That's what they did. And they worshiped other gods, and they served the other gods. Then he said he brought all this evil upon them because of that. Now, beloved, that's where we are. And I want to talk about prayer for a little bit. There's three ways, the means of grace. The grace of God is the most important thing that we can possess this morning. It's to be birthed and born again into the family of God. I'm glad I'm saved. There's three ways, or not three ways, but there is a way God gets us in by His grace. And there's three things God uses. I've said this many, many times, and you'll not get in it without it. One of them is the Word of God. The other is the Spirit of God, and the other is prayer. Those three things gets us in. Nobody ever got saved without and by the Word of God. Nobody ever got saved without and by the Holy Spirit. And nobody ever got saved without and by the prayers of God's people and the people who called upon God. Amen. Somebody prayed for you before you got saved. Somebody has been praying for you since. But you prayed that morning or that day, that night, when you called upon God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you've got to call on Him. It's got to be, hadn't it? Did you get saved without calling on God? No. Amen. If you think you did, you are not saved. Now, we look at that. Our conversion comes by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and by prayer. You can put that in your notes. You can keep that as continual. That's it. And then after you're saved, your growth in grace, and that's what God demands for us to do and commands, that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. How do we grow in grace? By the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and by prayer. Those three things God is going to use constantly. You can't grow in the grace of God. We have to grow. Amen. And then we talked about it lots of times, sanctification. Our sanctification, or being set apart for the Master's use and being made holy, is by the same means, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and by prayer. And those three things have to be used. Yeah, and we have to have them. We just have to have it. Now, there's a thing about it. Sometimes we think, well, we'll just read the Bible. And here's a tendency. Most of us read more of the Bible than we will pray. And sometimes it goes to the other extreme. But if you find yourself reading the Bible more than you pray, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You'll be puffed up after a while. You'll learn a lot about the Scriptures, but you don't know how to apply them. And you kind of get puffed up knowing. So I don't want to get to the place I've read the Scriptures and get puffed up. And get when I say puffed up, I'm not talking about overweight like we are, amen. I'm talking about at the place in our lives where we think we know more than somebody else does. And sometimes we can get to that place. I don't want to get to that place in my life. And the way to keep that is to get a part of all that. So if you go the other route and you pray, and I know a lot of people, I believe, pray a lot, but they don't study their Bible much. That's a danger. You've got to have an equal on that, I'll guarantee you. Somebody said, do you pray first? And I've gone over this before, but I'll do it again this morning. What do you do, preacher? Do you pray first or read your Bible first? Or do you read your Bible and then pray? Well, I've come to the place, people asked me that years ago, and I said, Lord, what do you do? I don't know. And I found out you just do either one you want to start with. You start praying and getting the Spirit of God, and I'll guarantee you, He'll drive you to the Word of God. You get in the Bible, and you start studying about the Lord, and the Lord will drive you to your knees to pray. And so they go to hand in hand. But if you get the place that you decide that you're going to pray more than you do study, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll do the opposite effect to what it did before. To those who have got the place, instead of being puffed up, it'll make you fanatical. I believe we've got a lot of people that's fanatical. They pray all the time, and they're always looking for it. Some people go to church and faint shouting, and the preacher ain't a-preaching. I mean, I'm talking about the service gets under the Spirit of God, and nobody, I hear them brag about it. We've been to church 6 weeks, and the preacher ain't preached in 6 weeks. That's fanatical. You can say what you want to. You can call me what you want to. You say, I wish we had a few of them services around here. Amen. And once in a while, they're good for us. They really are. They help you. But what happens is, if you're going to pray all the time and not read your Bible, what's going to happen is you're going to get full of the Lord, but at the same time, you ain't got no Bible to back you up on a lot of things. You get fanatical, and you become ignorant of the Word of God, and you get shallow in the doctrines of the Word of God, and you can't stand on your own 2 feet out there, and you shout all the time, and that's what they're looking for, shouting services. Nothing wrong with shouting. Amen. Praise God. If you like shouting, just shout all the time. Help yourself. Amen. Shout at home. Don't come to church and shout. Amen. Shout at the house too. Amen. Just shout. Praise God. Go around and shouting. Ain't nothing wrong with shouting for the glory of God. But some of us, we've come to the place we shout, but it's not for the glory of God. But anyhow, I'm saying to us this morning that what we do, we don't want to become fanatical and get the place and not have the knowledge of God. So I want to have an equal. I want to have an equal thing of this, of the Word. And I want to have enough knowledge to stand and know what God's talking about. But at the same time, I want to rejoice and give God the praise and the glory. Now, prayer is something I believe this morning. You'll have to say it. I've heard a statement made many years ago that talks about mothers and how that they love their children. It says, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You've probably heard that before. But I want to say this morning, those who pray, that prayer is the source that moves the hand that moves the world. Matter of fact, prayer moves the heart of God. Many times we think about it, and I say this, you say God's got His mind made up and He's God and He changes not. That's right. But I want to tell you something. Prayer moves the heart of God. Amen. He told us here, when all this scripture I read to you a while ago, and He's teaching us that we stay with His Word. We study His Word. We stay with His Word. We live His Word. We do what God says. We pray. We seek His face. And yes, God hears our cry. God said, you do what I tell you to do, and my ears, I told you a while ago, will be attentive. And I'll hear you. And I want God to hear me when I cry, don't you? So we see that the prayer is the hand that moves, or the source that moves the hand of God, that moves the world. Abraham in the Bible was a man of prayer. I want to talk about a few of them this morning and get a little thought about it. And we're going to start a study, and I believe you'll see this. I'm beginning to look at this in a different manner. You know why our churches are where they are? We don't pray enough. I believe this is one thing that's missing. Sometimes we go to church, we like to study the Word of God. You like to study it, I know you do. You're taking notes now. You're writing down what we say and preach, and I appreciate that part. You read your Bible. I do believe we got some people in here that read their Bible constantly. None of us read it enough. But I believe you read it constantly. I appreciate that. And I'm not so sure that we pray enough, though. I am not sure that we pray enough. Search your own heart while we're studying these things and see if you pray enough and seek the Lord's face. I believe, who was it? I believe it was Martin Luther, I believe it was. Beck Hunter said, I've got so much to do and so much work to do that I have to pray 2 to 3 hours a day before I ever get started. And I can just see somebody saying, whew, if I spent 2 or 3 hours a day praying, I wouldn't have time to do nothing. I can just see the thinking of average Baptist, you know. Well, the thing about it is, you pray 2 or 3 hours and see what that does to your day. If you don't believe it, try it. Won't you just try it? Start tomorrow praying about 2 or 3 hours. Just get up in the morning early. And you said, oh, early? Yeah. Don't let it interfere with nothing else. Amen. Get up 2 hours early and pray for 2 hours before you start your work and see if it don't help and change things. Amen. You say, well, I wouldn't feel like doing anything the rest of the day. You might be surprised. Amen. Matter of fact, I know you would if you prayed seriously. Now, if you get up and do it because the preacher said that, I ain't so sure you'd probably feel bad. Amen. But if you get up because you got God on your heart and you want to do it, I believe it'll help you. Don't you? Amen. How long has it been since? How about, let's just look at this. The last time you prayed 2 hours, what did it do for you? Amen. Last time you spent 2 to 3 hours on your knees before you got started, didn't it help you then? And I can just see somebody saying, I don't know when that was. That's what I'm getting at. Let's put some time into this thing. Pray. We're expecting God just to come in on Sunday morning and dump heaven on us. We're expecting God to do everything there is to be done for us because He's done it all on Calvary, and He owes it every bit to us because we're His people, washed in His blood, and He loves His people. That's kind of the idea sometimes we get. But God teaches us that we ought to be prayer warriors and people who pray and seek the face of God. All right? Abraham was a man of prayer. You'll find it. You don't find many times where Abraham was actually praying, but he is a man of prayer because he talked to God. That's what prayer is. And when he prayed, he had the visit of the angels many times come down to see him. Matter of fact, you'll find in the scriptures that the Lord himself even came down and talked to Abraham and spoke to him. He communed with God. Matter of fact, the reason I know he is a prayer warrior, you remember when Sodom and Gomorrah was going on heavily and Lot done got down to Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember what Abraham said? He said, Lord, he said he wants to spare the city. God said, I'm going to destroy it. He said, well, if it's 50 down there, will you spare it? And God said, I'll spare it for 50. And the king came on down with the number, and he come down, 10? Come down to 10 souls at the end, and he said, I'll spare it for 10. Now, Abraham didn't go no further. I believe Abraham thought there's at least 10 people, and probably in Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know. But God said, I'll spare it for those. So he communed with God and spoke to God, and God talked to him, and he talked to God. Amen. Somebody said, I ain't never had a conversation with God like that. And I know why, preacher, because that's Old Testament times, and God don't do that anymore. But I got news for you. God talks back to you in the New Testament. He talks back to me. Amen. Many times I speak to Him, and He talks back. He tells me lots of things I don't like to hear, but He tells me things. Praise God. Amen for that. And He tells us what we need to do. Abraham was a man who conversed with God, built altars, and when he built those altars, he used those altars for the glory of God. I'm thinking about Jacob, for instance. Jacob was Jacob, if any of the Old Testament saints there and the patriarchs, they certainly, Jacob's one of them that needed to pray. He was kind of a more of a, he typifies the Baptists, the crooks, you know, amen. And he typified them more. Old Jacob, he wrestled with God, and his hip come out of joint. I'll guarantee you, he knew God had been around, but he wrestled with the Lord all night. He prayed. He communed with God. Matter of fact, God got him in the place to get back and get it settled with Esau, his brother. Him and Esau had a falling out. You remember Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, and then there was friction between them. And you look at the you know, all the deception that went on between Jacob and Esau and all the things that they did. But then you'll find that finally, in the end, that they got it settled. And God had to deal with Jacob to do that. And so it was. Think about Samuel. Samuel was one of the priests. He come in the business of the priesthood. And, oh, Samuel, you remember him? He was laying in his bed as a young man. And when he's in his bed, God spoke to him. And he thought it was Eli and went back and said, Eli? And Eli said, what? And he said, you call me. What do you want? He said, I didn't call you. He said, go back to bed. He went back. And the second time he spoke, he went back to Eli. And finally went back. And Eli told him, said, that's not me. It's the Lord. When the Lord next time says you speak and say Lord. And he did. And it was the Lord speaking to him. And he had a communication with God. God began to talk to him. What about his mother, by the way? You remember Hannah? Hannah, she was a prayer warrior. She went in the temple praying. Her womb was barren. And asked God for her to have a man child. And so God spoke to you know, her. And they had a conversation. And of course God gave her a man child. Of course it's Samuel we talked about. What about Elijah? I'm talking about some people who have had some dealings with God. Now they had dealings with God. People who have been strong Christians have been strong prayer warriors. I used to sit around and I'd read after some of these great men of God that they had things going on in their life. And they'd have things happening. And I'd say, boy, I'd like to see God do that in my life. I would. I'd like to see it. But I wasn't wanting to pay the price. They spent hours and time in prayer. They spent hours in the Word. And brother, if you don't spend hours in the Word and hours in prayer, you might as well just expect God not to. He'll answer a little of it, amen. God will answer some prayers to you, but he won't answer it all. I'll tell you what, the Bible teaches us that we seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, amen. I believe we need to delight in the Lord. If we delight in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And if we're delighting in the Lord, you know what we're going to be doing? Studying the Word of God and praying. We are. And if we delight in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And you're going to see God start giving you things. Amen. And the thing about it is, if God don't answer many of your prayers, you better stop and check up. I can give you prayer after prayer. God's answering. I can give you a lot he hasn't answered yet. I say yet. He's probably going to answer them, amen. Or maybe I hadn't really cashed in on the answer he's already given. Maybe I'm just camouflaging it. Maybe I'm expecting something that he's already said no on. Understand? But I'm saying to you, I could go back and give you list after list of things that God has done for me down through the years, and I praise his name for it. And I know that you can too. But if you can't, I'd stop and check up. Amen. And God's not answering your prayers. You're not following the Word of God correctly. Amen. And you're not praying enough. You need to seek the face of God and get things where they need to be. Because God always answers the prayers of the saints of God and gives them what they need. Elijah prayed. Imagine this. And heaven stopped and shut up heaven and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. You said, do you actually believe that happened? Absolutely. It's recording the Word of God. Amen. You said, yeah, but that's not the Bible. Well, now that's your opinion. Amen. There used to be question marks in my mind, but God settled that a long time ago. For me, I don't have no problem with that. Do you? Amen. I don't even stop to think if the Word of God's real or not. I know it is. I've seen it work too much in my life. I've seen it work too much in the lives of people around me, and there's no reason me to change that now. So I look at these things and see it. And Elijah come on, he started praying, and down came the rain after 3.5 years. You remember he prayed 63 words, not long prayers. He just prayed a little short prayer. And the little short prayers, guess what happened? Amen. 63 words. And fire came down out of heaven, eat up the sacrifice, and licked up the water and the stones and everything that he had made there at the altar. Amen. God proved who he was. So we see that Elisha, well, Elisha done the same thing Elijah done, raised a boy from the dead. Can you imagine that? And he did. And he raised the widow's son, raised him up. What about people like Samson? You said, Samson, oh, he messed up. Yes, he did. But I'll tell you one thing about it. Samson prayed, and God restored his strength. And you may be here with your strength gone, but you need to pray. That's what restores your strength. Amen. And when God restored his strength in the end, guess what happened? He destroyed more of the Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And see, God can do more. When we get things right, we need to pray. Get it all straightened out. Job was a man of prayer. Job was very active in prayer. He was in captivity for a long time under the influence of satanic forces. That the devil had made an agreement with God, or not an agreement, but asked for for him to be able to do something against Job. And God said, you can, but you can't take his life. Amen. You can take everything he's got, but you can't take his life. There's a certain things that you can't do. And old Job prayed and prayed and prayed. And then we find that Daniel prayed. In the 9th chapter of Daniel, Daniel prayed. And in that 9th chapter, that's a great chapter to read. And when you get home, read that 9th chapter of Daniel. And Daniel, after he prayed, Gabriel came to him and gave him a message. Amen. That we can use in our times today. It goes right along with the book of Revelation. And that's amazing. Paul and Silas prayed. Amen. That's New Testament praying. And Paul and Silas was in prison. And the blood had been cut out of their backs. There's in stocks and bonds. And at midnight, they begin to pray and sing praises. And God heard their cry and come down. And because of their praying, guess what? The prison doors open, and the jailer sprang in and gave out wonderful question. What shall I, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. And thou shalt be saved in thine house. And brother, he got some family members got in, got saved because of Paul and Silas praying. Stephen prayed. While Stephen was praying, amen, heaven opened up. Jesus stood up. Amen. And then Stephen was called up. Amen. I'm telling you right now, we can see the great work of God through prayer. And that lets us know that even through opposition and through persecutions and through trials and tribulations, we are to pray. We should pray. We are to be men and women of prayer. And if we prayed at Bible Way Baptist Church like we ought to pray, brother, we'd see things happening. And you said, we see things happening now. Let's pray some more and watch more of it happen. Amen. I like to watch the demonstration of God in our services. Then Jesus, of all people, prayed. Matter of fact, he prayed all night in prayer. How long has it been since you've done that? Amen. I've had some nights when I didn't sleep all night nearly. Amen. But and I prayed a few times in that night, Lord, help me to sleep. Amen. The Lord might have wanted me to be a praying all night. What about that too? And there has been some times I've prayed at night when I normally wasn't planning on praying, and I've prayed quite a bit, seen some times, and watched God do things the next day and days ahead. But even Jesus prayed this baptism, and there was the Holy Spirit, and the form of a dove came down. Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah was transfigured before him. And we see him praying. We find him praying at the tomb of Lazarus. Matter of fact, before he even said, Lazarus, come forth, he prays and he magnifies the Lord God and magnifies the Heavenly Father when he prays. You find him in John chapter 12 praying. Study that. John chapter 17 is the intercessory prayer for the saints of God. What great praying Jesus did. Amen. Praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. This sweat came as great drops of blood. And there he was praying. Not this, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he drunk the very dregs of the cup and went to the cross of Calvary. But he was a man of prayer. And then on the cross of Calvary, last prayer he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we ought to pray. Amen. Somebody says, well, how long should we pray? Long enough. Amen. What's that? To get something done. Amen. Well, I can tell sometime to watch this. We used to have a fellow come to church and call him to pray, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. Have you ever seen that? And when he prayed, he was preaching a sermon. He used text after text of the scriptures and quoted it out straight to God. Now, God knows his Bible. It's good that you can quote it. But you don't have to remind the Lord of all these things. I do sometimes. I get caught in that too, don't you? I have remind, and I believe there's sometimes, Lord, now you told me this is right here. And here it is. And I've done that a few times. Amen. And God says, I know it's right there. Amen. And then he'll sometimes give me another verse that goes along with it. That the reason it hadn't happened is because of that verse. Amen. He'll tell you that. Or he may not give you another verse, but he'll remind you in your heart something's not right. And you have to get it settled. So I've noticed people, usually as a general rule, not always, but just a general rule, people in the public that pray long prayers don't pray at all, or very short prayers they pray in their closet. You find people that pray a lot in the closet, prayer closet, and seek the face of God in private, and they pray a long time with the Lord, usually don't give you too long a prayer in the public. But see, if they pray in long prayers, they're trying to get caught up. They're behind. Amen. Just think about that just a minute. All right. Short prayers. Short prayers get the job done sometimes. Let me give you two or three to think about just a minute. The old publican. What was he when he's in the temple? The old Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like him. I pray and I fast and all that. He had a fairly lengthy prayer. It wasn't real long, but it's lengthy enough. What did the old publican say? What did he say? He just says over here, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. Went home justified. The sinner, Phoenician woman, she cried out to the Lord, and here's what her prayer was. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Amen. I mean, that's a long prayer, ain't it? What about the thief on the cross? He said, remember me. Ain't that what he said? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Did God hear him? Sure. Amen. What about old Peter's prayer when he's out on the water sinking? He said, Lord, save me or I perish. Wasn't long prayers. Amen. We just have to get down to business with God. Amen. In that 17th chapter of John, I'll give you something to think about because time about got me and I want to say a few more. I would go in and break these down for you. But in the 17th chapter of John, when Jesus is praying for us and for the saints of God, he prayed one prayer for himself. He prayed four prayers for his disciples that are around him right there. And out of that 17th chapter, he prayed two prayers for his disciples of forthcoming days, you and me, of succeeding times of the disciples. And he did that. Six times in that chapter, he repeats himself that God had sent him down from heaven. Six times he done that in his prayer. And he speaks of the world in that chapter nine times. And we'll see that he's talking to the believers. And all the way through it, he makes many, many references to the believers, to you and I who are the saints of God. So Jesus prayed for us. Thank God I've been prayed for by the Son of God. Amen. So I give God the praise and the glory and thank God for what he's doing. Well, there's some things I believe if we're going to have prayer answered in our life is we're going to have. Number one, we're going to have some adoration for the Son of God. I'd get the place that we adore him. We're not going to pray until we adore him. Brother, as a Savior, as the Lamb of God, there needs to be some confession. Sometimes people talk about confession. I hear people talk about, and seem like lately people have been talking to me more about Roman Catholicism than a lot of other times I've been around. And they're talking about to people. Yesterday I was talking to some of these men. They was talking about literature to give to the Catholics and the people that they go to the confessional booth. And where they pray, and a lot of people believe that that priest can forgive them a sin, and they don't—they're ignorant of the Word of God. That goes along with what I'm trying to talk about and was talking about in the earlier part of the lesson. If you don't study the Word of God, you won't know. And if you don't hear the Word of God, and preachers won't preach this, especially outside the Baptist family, they don't preach it much. And that is that we cannot be forgiven of sin but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need to stop and think about some things. We need to adore Him. Secondly, we need to confess Him. God expects us to confess Him. Amen. These people that said they got saved and then never confess it, I got problems with that, hadn't you? I don't believe anybody gets saved but what knows it. I believe you know down inside something happened. You may not do the explaining. You cannot tell what happened. But you know there's been a change made. And then you confess that the Lord's done something for me. You may not lay your hand on it completely. You may not have enough scripture in your spiritual mind to comprehend, but you know something happened. Something, the old song, somebody got a hold of me. And thank God you know something happened. It made a change in you. And so that change is there. So you got to have that. So we give God the praise and the glory. Oh, Moses, brother, I believe, met God on the holy ground. And that's where you and I need to meet God. He saw that burning bush and went out to see the sight. And as he come up there, God said, put off your shoes, for the ground you stand on the holy ground. And there he was. I think that's exactly the way we meet God. We need to meet Him on holy ground. That we need to make sure this morning that we're submissive to Him and we're sold out to Him. You cannot, and we're going to deal with this, you cannot get your prayers answered if there's sin in your life. God will not hear you. Heaven, it gets so far away. Amen. You cannot hear from the Lord. I tell you, it's an important thing if you begin to look at this and see what God has to say in the Word of God and see how things are. Brother, I'll tell you right now. Look at Isaiah 59. I want you to turn there and then we're going to quit. Isaiah 59. Isaiah is a tremendous book, 66 chapters. Corresponding to the 66 books of the Bible. Amen. Well, let's go to 59. Chapter 59 of Isaiah. First three verses. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, notice this, have what? Separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. You see that? For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. God said that He would not hear our cry. Amen. We got sin in our life. And that's the reason today we need to check up. If our prayers are not being answered, something's wrong. God ain't changed. It'd be wrong with us, so we got to find out what it is. So let's pray right there. God, help us this morning as we studied a little bit on this prayer. I pray what we might have said, Lord, might help somebody, strengthen them, encourage them. May the hand of the Lord be real as we've met here this morning. Touch the service in a real way. May the hand of God be upon every heart, soul, mind, and body. And I pray, Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's lost, I pray You'd save them for Christ's sake. May they see the glorified Christ lifted and exalted. May they see the Lord Jesus giving Himself for them on the cross. And we give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.